Welcome to Ujjayini.com, your daily current affairs companion for UPSC and state PCs preparation. Today marks a significant milestone in India's defense history as we observe the anniversary of Operation Sindoor, a pivotal moment that transformed India's security doctrine. But why does this matter? It matters because Operation Sindoor marked a strategic shift in India's defense posture, from reactive restraint to a zero-tolerance, offensive deterrence doctrine. First, let us understand the background of Operation Sindoor. The operation was launched in May 2025 in response to the Pahalgam terror attack of April 2025, which killed 26 civilians. India targeted 9 terror infrastructure sites across POJK and Pakistan's Punjab, using BrahMos missiles and over 100 aircraft, making it the largest aerial engagement since 1971. Pakistan's DGMO initiated a ceasefire call on May 10, 2025, which was a significant development in the operation. What makes this significant is that Operation Sindoor demonstrated India's ability to operate under a nuclear overhang with calibrated, precise strikes. The IAF struck 11 Pakistani military air bases in the retaliation phase, including Noor Khan, Sargodha, Murid, Bholari, and others. This signaled India's willingness to escalate asymmetrically if provoked again. It is worth pausing here to note that this shift in doctrine is a crucial aspect of India's defense strategy, and it has significant implications for the country's national security. Now, let us lock in the key facts and numbers for your revision. Operation Sindoor, which was launched in May 2025, involved the targeting of 9 terror sites using BrahMos missiles and over 100 aircraft, making it the largest aerial operation since 1971. The ceasefire was initiated by Pakistan's DGMO on 10 May 2025 at 17 o'clock Indian Standard Time. India's security doctrine has shifted from reactive restraint to zero-tolerance deterrence. In the retaliation phase, 11 Pakistani airbases were struck, including Noor Khan, Sargodha, Murid, Bholari, and others, between May 9 to 10, 2025. Moving on to what this means for your preparation, it is essential to remember that Operation Sindoor is a critical event in India's defense history, and it has significant implications for the country's national security. So, what exactly changed? The operation marked a significant shift in India's defense doctrine, and it demonstrated India's ability to operate under a nuclear overhang with calibrated, precise strikes. Now let us turn to the historical context of another significant development. On 7 May 2026, the Supreme Court of India flagged the current procedure for appointing election commissioners as a tyranny of the elected, raising concerns about the lack of independent oversight in selecting constitutional appointees. But why does this matter? It matters because the appointment committee is dominated by the ruling executive, with the Prime Minister and a Union Cabinet Minister having 2/3 of the votes. This creates a structural conflict of interest, as the government appoints the body that oversees elections. The Supreme Court had previously recommended the inclusion of the Chief Justice of India in the selection committee, but this recommendation was bypassed by Parliament when it enacted the 2023 Act. The Act replaced the earlier collegium-style recommendation with a selection committee comprising the Prime Minister, a Union Cabinet Minister, and the Leader of Opposition. What does this mean for India's democratic institutions? It means that there is a need for greater transparency and independence in the appointment of election commissioners. Now, let us lock in the key facts and numbers for your revision. The CEC and other ECs Act, 2023, governs the appointment of election commissioners, and it provides for a selection committee comprising the Prime Minister, a Union Cabinet Minister, and the Leader of Opposition. The Chief Justice of India is excluded from the panel, despite the Supreme Court's earlier recommendation. The Election Commission is a constitutional body, and the removal of the Chief Election Commissioner requires the same procedure as the removal of a Supreme Court judge. With that background in place, let us look at the implications of another significant development. During Vietnamese President Tu Lam's state visit to India from May 5 to 7, 2026, both countries elevated bilateral ties to an enhanced comprehensive strategic partnership and signed 13 agreements. But what does this mean for India's strategic position? It means that India and Vietnam are strengthening their partnership with a focus on trade, defense, and cultural cooperation. First, let us look at the trade aspect. The two countries have set a trade target of $25 billion by 2030, up from $16 billion in 2025-26. This is a significant increase, and it reflects the growing economic ties between the two countries. What makes this significant is that the trade agreements will cover a range of areas, including digital payments, rare earth minerals, pharma, education, banking, and culture. The IRELTRAMO will facilitate India-Vietnam cooperation in rare earth elements. Crucially, the defense aspect of the partnership is also significant. India has offered maintenance support for Vietnam's Su-30 jets and Kilo-class submarines, which will enhance Vietnam's defense capabilities. Vietnam has also joined the Indo-Pacific Oceans Initiative, which is a significant development in the regional security landscape. And here is something that surprises many students: Vietnam is a key partner for India in the Indo-Pacific region, and this partnership has significant implications for India's strategic position. Now, let us lock in the key facts and numbers for your revision. The India-Vietnam partnership has been elevated to an enhanced comprehensive strategic partnership with a trade target of $25 billion by 2030. The two countries have signed 13 MOUs covering areas such as digital payments, rare earth minerals, pharma, education, banking, and culture. The IRELTRAMO will facilitate India-Vietnam cooperation in rare earth elements. Vietnam has joined the Indo-Pacific Oceans Initiative, which is a significant development in the regional security landscape. Moving on to what this means for your preparation, it is essential to remember that the India-Vietnam partnership is a critical aspect of India's foreign policy, and it has significant implications for the country's strategic position. So, what exactly changed? The partnership has been elevated to an enhanced comprehensive strategic partnership with a focus on trade, defense, and cultural cooperation. Now let us turn to the latest crime statistics. The National Crime Records Bureau has released its Crime in India 2024 report, showing that overall cognizable crimes declined by around 6%, but cybercrimes crossed 1 lakh registered cases for the first time. But why does this matter? It matters because cybercrime is a growing concern, with 72.6% of cybercrime cases being cyber fraud. The states with the highest cybercrime rate are Karnataka, Telangana, and Uttar Pradesh. What makes this significant is that the digital arrest frauds have emerged as a major category. This is a new type of cybercrime, and it requires a new approach to law enforcement. It is worth pausing here to note that the crime rate has been declining, but cybercrime is a growing concern. The overall crime rate is 418.9 per lakh, which is the lowest since 2019. Now, let us lock in the key facts and numbers for your revision. The National Crime Records Bureau has released its Crime in India 2024 report, which shows that overall cognizable crimes declined by around 6%. Cybercrimes have crossed 1 lakh registered cases for the first time, with 72.6% of cybercrime cases being cyber fraud. The states with the highest cybercrime rate are Karnataka, Telangana, and Uttar Pradesh. The digital arrest frauds have emerged as a major category. With that background in place, let us look at the implications of another significant development. India will host the first International Big Cat Alliance Summit on June 1 to 2, 2026 in New Delhi, with participation from 97 big cat range countries. But what does this mean for India's conservation efforts? It means that India is taking a leadership role in conservation, with a focus on protecting big cats and their habitats. First, let us look at the background of the International Big Cat Alliance. The alliance was launched in 2023 by Prime Minister Modi during Project Tiger's 50th anniversary. The alliance covers 7 big cat species, including tiger, lion, leopard, snow leopard, cheetah, jaguar, and puma. India has made a funding commitment of 150 crore rupees from 2023 to 2028. 25 countries have joined as members and 5 as observers. Crucially, the alliance is headquartered in India and it is an intergovernmental organization. The theme of the first summit is Save Big Cats, Save Humanity, Save Ecosystem. What makes this significant is that the alliance will provide a platform for countries to share knowledge, expertise, and best practices in big cat conservation. It is worth pausing here to note that India has a significant role to play in big cat conservation, with the country being home to a large population of tigers. Now, let us lock in the key facts and numbers for your revision. The International Big Cat Alliance was launched in 2023 during Project Tiger's 50th anniversary. The alliance covers 7 big cat species, including tiger, lion, leopard, snow leopard, cheetah, jaguar, and puma. India has made a funding commitment of 150 crore rupees from 2023 to 2028. The first summit will be held on June 1 to 2, 2026 in New Delhi, with participation from 97 big cat range countries. Moving on to what this means for your preparation, it is essential to remember that the International Big Cat Alliance is a critical aspect of India's conservation efforts and it has significant implications for the country's biodiversity. So, what exactly changed? The alliance has been launched, and India is taking a leadership role in conservation, with a focus on protecting big cats and their habitats. Now let us turn to the historical context of another significant development. 7th May 2026 marked the 165th birth anniversary of Nobel laureate Rabindranath Tagore. But why does this matter? It matters because Tagore's intellectual clash with Mahatma Gandhi over the charkha, or spinning wheel, is a significant aspect of India's history. What makes this significant is that the debate between Tagore and Gandhi reflects the philosophical divide between nationalism and humanism. Gandhi saw the charkha as a symbol of self-reliance, economic liberation, and national solidarity. Tagore, on the other hand, rejected the charkha as a cult glorifying mindless mechanical repetition, and argued that India needed creative education and rational inquiry. It is worth pausing here to note that this debate has significant implications for our understanding of India's history and its intellectual traditions. Now, let us lock in the key facts and numbers for your revision. Rabindranath Tagore was born on 7th May 1861 in Jorsanko, Kolkata. He was awarded the Nobel Prize in Literature in 1913 for his work, Gitanjali. He founded Viswabharati University in 1921 at Shantiniketan, which promoted integrated creative education. Tagore coined the term cult of the charkha in his 1925 critique of Gandhi's ideas. With that background in place, let us look at the implications of another significant development. Niti Aayog has released a comprehensive report on India's school education system, highlighting deep structural deficits in retention, learning outcomes, and infrastructure. But what does this mean for India's education sector? It means that there is a need for significant reforms, with a focus on improving learning outcomes and infrastructure. First, let us look at the key findings of the report. 1.19 lakh schools lack access to functional electricity, according to the UDC Plus 2024-25 data. There is a significant dropout rate after class 10 due to economic barriers and weak foundation. The report recommends a shift from textbook completion to foundational mastery. Teachers are advised to teach at the actual learning level, not grade level. Crucially, the report highlights the need for significant reforms in the education sector. What makes this significant is that the report provides a comprehensive analysis of the education sector, and it highlights the need for reforms to improve learning outcomes and infrastructure. It is worth pausing here to note that the education sector is a critical aspect of India's development, and it requires significant investment and reforms. Now, let us lock in the key facts and numbers for your revision. Niti Aayog was established on 1st January 2015, and it replaced the Planning Commission. The report highlights deep structural deficits in retention, learning outcomes, and infrastructure. 1.19 lakh schools lack access to functional electricity, according to the UDC Plus 2024-25 data. The report recommends a shift from textbook completion to foundational mastery. Finally, let us note the appointment of Prasoon Joshi as the chairman of Prasar Bharati, effective 2nd May 2026. He is a lyricist, ad professional, and chairman of the CBFC since 2017. Prasar Bharati oversees Doordarshan and All India Radio, and it was established by the Prasar Bharati Act 1990 and has been operational since 1997. In conclusion, these developments have significant implications for India's national security, foreign policy, conservation efforts, education sector, and cultural landscape. As we observe the anniversary of Operation Sindoor, we are reminded of the importance of a strong defense posture and the need for strategic assessments of India's security doctrine. The elevation of India-Vietnam ties to an enhanced comprehensive strategic partnership and the hosting of the first International Big Cat Alliance Summit are significant developments in India's foreign policy and conservation efforts. The debates and discussions around these developments will continue to shape India's trajectory in the years to come.